in Genesis 21 now. Genesis 21, verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, so that all who hear will laugh with me. She also said, Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children, for I have borne him a son in his old age. So the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, scoffing. Therefore she said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely with Isaac. And the matter was very displeasing to Abraham's sight because of his son. But God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice, for in Isaac your seed shall be called. Yet I will also make a nation of the son of the bondwoman, because he is your seed. So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water, and putting it on her shoulder, he gave it and the boy to Hagar and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water in the skin was used up, and she placed the boy under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat down across from him at a distance of about a bow shot. For she said to herself, let me not see the death of the boy. So she sat opposite him and lifted her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. Then the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, what ails you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him with your hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. Then she went and filled the skin with water and gave the lad a drink. So God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. He dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. Let's pray. Lord, how good you've been to us that we've noted your wonders this week. But Lord, they really are there every day. The heavens declare the glory of God. And so, Lord, we come together around history. And Lord, history is your hand at work. And we learn from it. And many would like to forget history and ignore history or even change history. But Lord, we benefit from seeing how you've dealt with even the dark times that men have faced. So Lord, we pray for enlightenment in this time in Abraham's life. In Jesus' name, amen. I was at my desk today studying and heard a helicopter. It's not unusual. Sometimes you hear those helicopters and those other planes that pass over, usually in the night. But this was during the day in a helicopter. Heard a helicopter, but it didn't pass by. It stayed in the area. Kept hearing it chop, 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 chop. And 10, 15 minutes, and Cindy's going out looking for what's going on. And we had one time, several years back, the blimp, the Goodyear blimp came through, one of the blimps. She said, maybe it's that. just hovering around somewhere. And we looked over toward the gardens from our back deck and couldn't see anything. But I mean, it's just right. He was right there. It's one of those things where the sound is right there, but you can't see anything. So I wonder what that is. Maybe somebody got drowned in the river. They're looking for something. What it is. So I took off down the street. And I walked all the way almost to the end of the street. And there were signs there, men working and such. Before I got there, I saw a helicopter with a cable extended from it. I said, well, they're dragging the river. Somebody's drowned. They're doing something. I mean, what could they be doing? So I get over there and walk up to the worker who's kind of guarding the road and keeping people away. He said, a helicopter's trimming trees. Dropped a cable down. It's got this long thing with a bunch of blades on it. And they just that way. And that guy is funny. He said, I've been watching this for 7 months and I still can't get over it. And I said, imagine this. First the eclipse and then this. All in 1 week. Well, sometimes you have weeks like that. Usually it's a long time before a lot of unusual things happen. Genesis 21 is what we've been working for a while. It's a thing where the anticipation for this event has been long in existence and hoped for. And really, one of the most heart-wrenching experiences that any married couple has is trying to have a child and hoping for a child and not having one. It is a month-to-month agony. And the pressure builds up, the hope, and then the disappointment. And so Abraham and Sarah have been doing that for years. They have been, for years, wondering if this might be the time. And really, they've gone so far past childbearing years that I think they gave up for themselves, even with the promise of God, emotionally at least. And in many societies, and this society is one of those societies, if a woman does not have a child, she has not met her purpose. And here's Sarah, 90 years old, not had a child. Abraham has had a child, but in a less than proper way, really. But there was the expectation when you get married, if you want to have children, the expectation is at some point you will say, okay, now we're going to have children, and you'll have children. And for a lot of people, it's just like that. Not for Abraham and Sarah. You know, first comes love, then comes marriage, then comes Abraham with a baby carriage. Didn't happen. It was a long, dreaded wait. And every month was not pregnant again. And the circumstances were such, and we know of this earlier, that Sarah had this idea that, well, if I can't have children, then you have children by my bondwoman, Hagar, and they'll be credited to me. This new math of that time, you know. It was not unusual, apparently, in that culture that a baby born within the house of the, you know, mistress, the master of the house and the mistress, would be considered under certain guidelines or circumstances to be the master's child. And in this case, this was the plan that Sarah came up with. Sarah said, take Hagar, have a baby by her. That baby will be considered mine. But that was total manipulation of the system. That was panic. That was reaching. They had to do a lot of verbal gymnastics to make that the same thing. A big stretch. And so what they got out of that was, by the time Isaac was born, you got a 13-year-old boy who is the son of the bondwoman. You see, it's still, Sarah doesn't refer to him as my son. It's the son of the bondwoman. So there was no daily assurance from God through this time that, just be patient, Abraham, everything's going to work out. But we do see God telling Abraham from time to time that it's going to work out. He started off telling him that, you would have heirs like the stars of heaven, like the sand of the sea. And later on he said that the heir would come from your own body, which probably prompted this plan with Hagar that Sarah came up with. And then in chapter 18, we saw before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, verse 10, Genesis 18:10, he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life, and behold, Sarah your wife shall have a son. And Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. And Sarah and Abraham were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. So it was now clearly that Sarah would have this son. Is it impossible? Absolutely. Yet, here it is promised. Now, we might ask the question, why did God make Abraham and Sarah wait like this? That's always the question. People having difficulty with fertility issues. That's all what they're always asking. Why did that person over there, the 18-year-old, and they got, and had a baby, and they're too young, and here we are, a good family, stable and solid, and we can't have a baby? Why did God put Abraham through all that? And Sarah, who had had more of the emotional toll upon her. Well, the experience of Abraham is one of him being more than a father of Isaac. If you look back to Genesis 12, when we first started dealing with Abraham, God gave him a promise. This Abrahamic covenant was restated several times and expanded. Verse 3, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Abraham's heritage was not about just Isaac. Isaac was part of that in the lineage of Israel as Israel advanced and became a great nation. But Abraham was about a whole lot more than that. In Genesis 15, Paul notes this in Romans 4. In Genesis 15, verse 6, when the Lord told Abraham, let's just pop up a little bit to where he told him these things, verse 5, He brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. So that is mentioned, if you'll go to Romans 4, and we did this before, Romans 4, verse 1. Paul is making the case in Romans that salvation is by faith. And that is, of course, the minority opinion among the world's religions. Most people in the world believe that salvation is by merit, that you earn it. Sometimes the price is not very high that you have to pay. Sometimes it is very high. But it is earned according to the majority, the vast majority of people in this world. It is cause and effect. I work, I'm good, I get to go to heaven. And Paul, using Abraham, who is, again, as I say, far more than the father of Isaac. Because Abraham is the father of faith. Abraham has children and blesses the entire world, not by making everyone Jewish through the line of Isaac, but by fostering faith in all the nations. So look at Romans 4, verse 1. What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? Or Abraham our father according to the flesh has found. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something of which to boast, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. In other words, if you go to work and you put in an 8-hour day and you get paid, you did not get paid by grace. You got paid by what was owed to you, by debt. You had a debt that was incurred from your employer to you, and he had to pay that because you earned it. But to him, verse 5, who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. So if your faith is in God who justifies, and we know in detail that that is through Christ and his righteousness and him taking our sin on the cross. If we believe in God who justifies the ungodly, then his faith is accounted for righteousness, just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. And you see there in that those verses that sin is present. And David is saying how blessed is the man who has sin, but that the Lord does not impute against him. That's salvation by faith. That's grace. That you've earned the wages of death, but you are given the fruit of eternal life. That's grace. Verse 9. Does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only, or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. And often circumcision is the sign in the Jewish religion that you are keeping the law. How then was it accounted, verse 10, while he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while still uncircumcised. So he says circumcision then, what Paul is saying, was not a means of righteousness, but was a sign of righteousness that Abraham already had. That, you know, and circumcision is a physical sign that your children will be brought up in, you know, the covenant with God. That was the covenant. The circumcision was just a sign of that. So, verse 11, he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. You see, Abraham's major father influence is upon faith, not Isaac. And the Lord drew out the faith of Abraham through trials. Remember what James says about trials. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing the testing of your faith produces patience. And, you know, it increases in you your faith. And the example of your righteousness by faith, which is a gift of God. So that is what righteousness is. It is by faith. Whether you're circumcised or uncircumcised, he is the father of faith. That's his bigger fruit. Verse 12, and the father of circumcision to those who are not only of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. So He is the father of faith. That is his progeny. That is his offspring. Verse 13. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect. Because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So, he's the father of us all in faith. He is the father of the circumcision by genealogy, but you see, his big impact is his faith, and that is what God draws out of Abraham. Abraham's not having any trouble right now with how God brought his child into the world after 25 years of waiting. He was already old. Go back to the text in Genesis 21. We're told this birth announcement that the Lord visited Sarah and she had a child. And this is so out of the ordinary. Because I thought it was funny as you go through here, it's verse 2. Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age. Well, she was no spring chicken either. But even when she's mentioning it, she doesn't say she's old. She says he's old. Yeah, because verse 7, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age. I think she's feeling pretty chipper now that she's birthed a child at 90 years old. So this all came about. Isaac means laughter. This birth comes and all of that waiting and to this point. And it is unbelievable. Verse 8, the child grew and was weaned. I guess that's no exact age on that. But, you know, when you get the child's not, you know, any longer surviving on just his mother, I guess, you get the Gerber out and start up on that stuff. So, you know, that comes early. And when that happened, Abraham threw a great feast. And, you know, teenagers, and at this time, let's just say that Ishmael would have been about 15. And of all the days to just shut your teen mouth and sit over there and have fun, this was the day to do that. And he couldn't do it. And we note this at this day, verse 9, Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, scoffing. I don't know if there's any play on the words here. Isaac means laughter. This is a sort of laughter of scorn. Because you can imagine Ishmael wanted to be the one. And he had been around. He was the son. He was Abraham's son. Sarah seems never to have got to where she called called him her son. But he is a bit full of himself, seemingly a bit bitter, seems to be wanting to put a sour note into this. And so he's over there laughing, big deal. Whatever he did. Not only did he do it, he did it so Sarah could see him. Sarah, you know, is just looking for an excuse to push him out. And she goes for it. Verse 10, she said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son. For the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely with Isaac. You might want to think that Sarah's getting a little bit uppity here, but not really. This whole plan was Sarah's. We could put it back on her and say, you know, but she has the right and the ability to regret her moves and her decisions and her thoughts and her actions, and I think she clearly did. Abraham had a certain bonding with this child, with Ishmael. He was sad, verse 11, when Sarah mentions this, but the Lord's on Sarah's side here. Verse 12, he tells Abraham, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice, for in Isaac your seed shall be called. It's almost like in this case, Sarah's idea that he's not going to grow up to be heir with my son Isaac is also God's idea that there not be any kind of connection between these two children, because one is of promise and one is of the flesh. And Paul, again, in Galatians, if you'll turn to Galatians 4, he makes that point, that this is for an example for us in that day, verse 21 of Galatians 4. Now remember, the Galatians were trying to gain favor by keeping the law. It's exactly what Abraham was not about. Abraham, again, the father of faith. The Galatians were, you know, Gentiles as a people. But, you know, the Jews would come by and say, listen, you got to keep the law. And the very first part of the book is they're displacing the gospel for another gospel, which is not another gospel, Paul said, but you're accursed if you go after some other gospel. And their gospel was, well, you got to be circumcised, you got to keep the law of Moses. We saw it in Acts where that was attempted on people. Verse 21, chapter 4, Galatians. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law. You see, there's the issue. Do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise. Which things are symbolic? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is in bondage with her children. So he says Hagar is more like the doing it by the flesh, trying to keep the law to gain favor of God or to get something, in this case a child, the heir. And that Jerusalem, since they're still in unbelief and still holding to Judaism, they're in bondage, just like anyone under the law. You're in bondage, you're not free when you're under the law. The law condemns. So, verse 26, but the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear. Break forth and shout, you who do not travail. For the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. Now, we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as he who was born according to the flesh, then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. You see, that's a reference to what Ishmael was doing at this feast. He was persecuting, scoffing at Isaac. He was already there. It was performed well before in a different way. Verse 30, nevertheless, what does the scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. So what is Paul's point here is to cast out the bondwoman, which in this case is the law. Don't let anybody think your righteousness is based upon what you have done. And in the case of Hagar and Ishmael, that's the bondwoman. She was Sarah's bondwoman, Abraham's bondwoman, and she bore Ishmael, who's persecuting that which was born of promise, Isaac. And God guiding history is giving us an example here, an illustration of the gospel and the law. So, back to Genesis. This is what was happening, and this is what Sarah said, you know, kick her out. And God said, yeah, kick her out. Because God is also about more than what Ishmael wants and what the son, or what the bondwoman wants. He is separating them out from Isaac, who is the child of promise. So he sends them on their way, gives them some water, you know, puts them on a donkey and out of here. And the water is used up, verse 15. They're having a bad time. She goes away from Ishmael about a bow shot. If it's a bow shot for me, it's about from me to Kevin. But I think it's a good, you know, probably 100 yards or something. I don't know. So she wants to get out of the way. You know, her son's going to die. They're going to thirst to death out here. Woe is me. She's been kicked out. You know how she feels. She really just went along with the whole plan. It wasn't her plan. She couldn't initiate it. It was Sarah's plan, and now Sarah's kicked her out. And now she's out in verse 16 having a pity party saying, let me not see the death of the boy. And she sat opposite him and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. Significant, apparently, you know, if your mom goes to crying and you're thirsty and you're out in the wilderness and you're in a bad spot, you know, you're crying too. And the Lord heard the voice of Ishmael. And the angel of the Lord called to Hagar out of heaven and said, what ails you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him with your hand, for I will make him a great nation. And he opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. She went and filled the skin with water and gave the lad to drink. And God was with the lad, verse 20, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer, dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. So you see, he's an Egyptian She's an Egyptian bondwoman. He gets an Egyptian wife. He's got half of the Jewish blood there. He's not the same as Isaac. And the Lord doesn't want any of the mixture there. He wants grace and law to be separate. The law convicts and drives us to grace. Grace and the favor of God is never gained from the keeping of the law. The law brings condemnation. So this is not just history, it's also a symbol, an example, that we're saved by grace and we abide and live by grace. We'll just stop there. Any comment you have?